As part of our year-end check-ins with people we met during 2016, we're going to return now to a performer named Taylor Mack. I first spoke with him in September at a rehearsal for a 24-hour performance covering the history of American popular music from 1776 to the present.
All right, so let's start from the top.
That's Mack's musical director and collaborator, Matt Ray. This is a full, inclusive history of America, working its way through slavery, Jewish tenements, women's suffrage. The final decade was original songs that Taylor Mack wrote. The show involved puppeteers, burlesque dancers, an orchestra, and a pile of performers Taylor Mack called his dandy minions.
Ready?
That is audio from the one-time-only 24-hour performance on October 8th. Taylor Mack had been developing this show for years. He had performed a 12-hour stretch of it, but never the entire marathon before. When I first talked to him, he wasn't even sure if he would be able to make it through all 24 hours.
Part of the show is that I'm supposed to fall apart, so I think then I'm putting myself in a circumstance where I couldn't possibly do it perfectly. I will fall apart. What happens as a result of that?
Of course, I wanted to know what did happen.
Hi, how are you?
So I met back up with Taylor Mack at his apartment in New York. Objectively, the performance was a huge success. All 700 tickets sold out, and most people stayed awake the entire time. In the New York Times, critic Wesley Morris called it one of the great experiences of my life. So what did it feel like for Taylor Mack on stage for that whole 24 hours without a break?
It felt a little bit like a ritual sacrifice. I mean, it felt like you put yourself through something really difficult and you come out the other side.
When we talked before the performance while you were rehearsing, you seemed generally unsure whether you would be physically able to get through it.
Yeah.
So was there a moment in the 24 hours where you thought, oh, no, I'm really not going to get through it, or a moment when you realized, oh, I'm going to make it. This is going to be okay.
At hour 5, the air conditioning broke in the space.
Hour 5 puts us in early 1800s?
Yeah, 1816 to 26. The space started to kind of get hot, and I started to think, oh, does this space just get hot with all these bodies? Did I just make the worst decision of my life? And this is just going to get worse from here, because hour 6 was really hot. And then they fixed the air conditioner. And then once we got to the Walt Whitman Stephen Foster decade, everything started to ease up.
Chase the buffalo. We'll chase your buffalo.
And then we were fine. I mean, by the end of the show, I was destroyed, but I was, but I knew I could get through it.
You were still singing, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The specific example you gave when we talked before was Purple Rain. You were like, you know, if we get to Purple Rain and I can't sing it, it'll be like, well, the audience knows the song, they can sing it.
Yeah. All I could make was legit one octave range.
Honey, I could never steal you from another.
And I had Stephanie and Thornetta, who are these incredible singers from Detroit, and they had slept the night. They were all fresh. They looked amazing. And it was just this burst of energy that we all needed.
Purple rain, purple rain. Purple rain, purple rain.
Even though you had all of these collaborators showing up over the course of the 24 hours, your core orchestra shrunk by one person each hour.
Yeah.
And at hour 23, it was just you and Matt Ray, your musical director, collaborator.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about what it was like to go from the end of hour 23 into hour 24 and be alone on stage for that last hour?
You know, Matt is such a huge part of this project with me, and it's been 5 years of work, and our collaboration has been a lot longer. So it was an emotional experience just to go through all of that with him. He just started to break down on stage, and so I was holding him, and he was sobbing in my arms, and the audience was freaking out, cheering and screaming. It just seemed forever. So that was really sweet. And then when he left, It felt a little lonely, but it felt right. It was slowly a process of giving it over to the audience. The entire piece was, okay, we're giving this art, we're giving this history, we're giving this collaboration over to the audience and this vision, and hopefully they will take it and make something with it.
When all the artists leave or die, and you're alone on stage.
I needed to go away too, you know, which is what I did at the end of the show. Then I came home and I fell asleep at the dinner table, you know.
Literally at the dinner table?
Halfway through eating something.
And when you woke up the next morning, was it like I'm in a different world now? I'm a different person? Or was it like, what am I going to do with my life? I mean, what was it?
A little bit like that, yeah. It felt like that's what I crafted for myself, was this massive project that allows me to enter into a new phase of life.
What was the before phase, and how would you describe the after phase?
Before it was, I think so much of our attention has been placed on trying to identify what is wrong, and we haven't spent too much attention imagining a new what we want it to be and what the alternatives are. Part of a 24 decade for me was claiming what's wrong with the world and what's wrong with our culture right now in America specifically, and then actually imagining the world that I want and making that happen. We didn't really say this is the world that we want on stage, but we were making it with the Dandy Minions and the audience and the music and everybody participating. And I think that's what the future holds for me, is just making more work that is about making the world that I want, as opposed to commenting on the world that is.
And the despair that so many progressive, radical, whatever word you want to use, people have sunk into after Trump's election, do you feel like in any way, having told the story of internment camps and the Trail of Tears and tenements, mm-hmm. and progressed through that to mm-hmm. the next decade and the next decade and the next decade, does that help you to avoid sinking into that same despair?
It reminds me that it can happen at any time, that it's not over, because you see the patterns over and over, and it makes you realize that things are cyclical. They come back in some way. So you see the people who fought against it, and you say, oh, well, that's the person I want to be, so that's what I'll do when it happens.
Taylor Mack, it's great to see you again. Thank you.
And thank you so much, Ari.
Johnny comes marching home again. Hurrah, hurrah. We'll give him a hearty welcome then. Hurrah, hurrah.
Performer Taylor Mack. Earlier this year, he completed a 24-decade history of popular music in one 24-hour show.
We'll all feel gay when Johnny comes marching home.